Okay, here we are. And today I'm recording from Lincoln's Inn Field in London, where it is a beautiful day and a perfect setting to discuss what I think will be an illuminating matter for you. Now, most of us, when we eat junk food, purchase something at Louis Vuitton, often we do these things, whether we realize it or not, for that dopamine hit. Now, dopamine is a feel-good chemical, and we need it. We need it. Now, our body, will produce serotonin. We get a flood of dopamine when we feed ourselves, when we do things we perceive being good for the body. Now, you may say, well, wait a second, how in the hell can eating junk food ever be perceived as good for the body? And here is where the intellectualization of biology, I think, does us a great disservice. And the reason why is if you look at what is in junk food, often, you know, it's one of two things that I think we're all aware of which one is sodium and the other is sugar. And of course, your brain and body systems, for the most part, run on sugar, on glucose molecules specifically. And, you know, you can't create glycogen to store in your muscles without glucose and potassium and water, for that matter, and fat and so forth. So, in a way, there is a perception by the body that this massive intake of glucose is a good thing. Just as when you experience orgasm, that flood of dopamine, the flood of just feel-good chemicals. Or when you, let's say, do something that extends your life in a grander scale, like you work out, the endorphins you get after running, you could argue that, at least in the case of working out, that this response, which is not fully understood, is not merely the release of endorphins or feel-good chemicals, but this is part of the repair process. And whether you believe that or not, it's kind of not even terribly relevant. But what is relevant is how you are acquainted with your desires and your impulses, and whether or not you recognize what's really happening when you get that fucking craving for something you know is bad for you. Think about that. We are a species that craves things that we know that if we consume are going to be to our detriment. So why do we do it? Attribute this to character or free will or something. And that's useless. I mean, I think that the dualistic notion, that is the body reflects the mind, is discredited. And I think that's about the most elegant way one could put it. When you realize, of course, that the mind is a physical thing, it's an object, it's made of material, and you realize your thoughts aren't these mysterious supernatural emanations, but that they are in fact literally physical things occurring in the brain, electrical impulses and neuronal firings and such. When you realize that, and when you realize the words you speak, for example, as they emanate from your mouth, they transmit in the form of sound waves, and they're, you know, absorbed. I mean, they're heard. These are all real things. To that end, when it comes to the craving, and that's, I do want to circle back to that. We get food cravings for things that we know are not in our best interest. And one of those, you know, cravings, of course, will occur when we haven't eaten for a while. Like if you wake up, you don't eat, eventually you crash, your body is in such a terrific need of glucose that you literally gorge. But what about, you know, a person who does eat breakfast and does eat lunch and does eat dinner? And so for such a person, you can argue that they don't really know what's happening to them, that they don't really know that what is appearing to them in their conscious experience is, in fact, you know, a pattern of energy. It's hormones telling you, oh, my God, we must have this. And if you give us this, we will give you this dopamine, this feel-good chemical. And this is not something that we should be surprised by. It really isn't. Our hormones tell us when to eat, when to stop eating. Our hormones will shuttle or cause to be shuttled energy into cells and so forth. And when you have that hunger ping or you have that desire, you have to, on some level, ask yourself, what is this? Am I merely in need of dopamine? Or am I craving dopamine? Can I get it from some other source than food and, you know, other than drugs? And the answer, you know, is yes. Yeah, you can, in fact, plug the hole. Because what you think is hunger is actually not hunger. What you think is hunger is, in reality, something totally different. It's a craving, but for dopamine. So, I mean, there's a number of ways to satisfy that. And I'm not in the business of recommending supplements. Sometimes people will message me and ask me to what amounts to a prescription for any number of elements. And, of course, I'm not a physician, so I'm not going to prescribe anything. And to that end, though, if you were interested in this specific topic, that is, you know, the burden of dopamine, you can look into things like the dopamine diet and see for yourself if that's, you know, something that solves problems. But, you know, having said that, I mean, I can certainly say that, you know, in the morning, if I'm not following a ketogenic diet, I am probably going to have oatmeal and dark chocolate and Brazil nuts. Reason being is, of course, these, particularly oatmeal or porridge, will have quite a dopamine release. You know, as well as some caffeine and coffee and all that. So that's a far better antidote, in my opinion. You know, if you're going to eat something healthy that will produce a dopamine hit as opposed to junk food. Now, you may say, oh, I can't resist the craving of the Twix bar. And that's bullshit. You certainly can. You know, you recognize what it is. Realize that this is not a real thing. It is a real thing. It's not existentially consequential, though. I mean, the worst thing that's going to happen if you are deprived of eating junk food is that you might get sad. And you might feel this deprivation, this sort of starvation feeling. But that passes. Of course, you don't have to suffer it. You can simply, like I said, eat something else that produces dopamine, something healthy. That's kind of the underpinning of the premise of the dopamine diet, which I don't know if it's made its way to the United States, where, interestingly, most of my listeners are, but it will soon. I'm quite certain of that. It's here in England. It's certainly something that's taking off. So the burden of dopamine, is a burden we carry because we don't understand ourselves. And one of the core arguments I've been making this year, and even last year really, is that we need to understand ourselves. We need to understand not just, you know, what it is that we are, but to some degree how we function, how we operate. And this doesn't mean you have to go get a PhD in biochemistry. I mean, it simply means that you have to know more about these consequential things that happen within you. If you can't describe why it is that you're craving something, then that's kind of an issue. Anyway, that's it for now, folks. I encourage you to Google these terms and see where it leads you. All righty. Cheers.